Welcome to the second feature episode of Aura Talks, everyone.
Welcome.
I think it's been around a month since our last episode, so we apologize for this delay. And another apology goes out for the poor audio quality. I have this weird fixation on perfect audio or crisp audio. Mm-hmm. I think it tied really well into my Asian heritage and being Korean.
Yeah, I mean we can all relate. Ideally, we would want to, you know, get better audio quality out, but of course,
hopefully next time we'll be able to get
better quality out in the future episodes.
When we're in Orville recording in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive into this week's episode. So the title of this episode is called Catering to the Context. Before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about alternative economics or economies. It's a field about that mainly concerns itself with creating new ways of distributing, sharing, and creating resources, goods, and wealth within a community, society, nation, right? But I guess a main challenge about this is where can an alternative way of redistribution and sharing can be achieved? Where can this be achieved? And a lot of people would argue that this can only be done in very experimental and intentional communities, such as Orville and Hongdong Village in Korea. But then again, the question is, I just want to say this before we get into it. The main question is, how do we cater to these unique contexts, which already have their own set of established systems and this preconceived understanding of certain economic terms, words, and concepts, including money, for example, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jonas?
Well, I think this is a very important topic, you know, since, you know, the overarching vision of Science Walden is to create a network of communities, you know, that can potentially use FSM as a complementary currency to facilitate exchanges of goods and services. Now, what we're trying to create is a currency that's, you know, based on human value. I believe by now the audience has heard it so many times, but, you know, to reiterate one more time, Science Walden's main goal with this project is to challenge the current, you know, conception of money, like what money really is. And in regards to catering to the context, you know, of these different communities with different aspirations as well as different philosophical backgrounds, it is not a surprise that we might have to make some tweaks to our vision and how we want to implement this system. However, we also have to take into account the fact that there's a limit to how much we can actually change. And if, you know, at the end of all these implementation phases or scenarios, what we have is still the same thing that we came, or it's still matching the vision that we had, and it's not totally different. So this is something that we're constantly contemplating, you know, in Science Walden, and I think it's also a conversation that the team in Oroville are also, you know, talking about and just exploring in terms of how we can get there and still reach the vision that we actually came with. So yeah, that's definitely something that I think has to be taken into consideration in this project.
In full accord, the FSM or the FISA Standard Money Project is at a very nascent early stages where it can only really be adopted and embraced by experimental communities such as Orville and Hongdong Village, right? And Jonas, I think what's been very interesting for us being in this unique intermediary position that is who are largely responsible for communication channels between the Science Walden side and the Orville side and balancing these two different interests. Well, it is on one hand very converging, the interest, because they both sides want to try something alternative, something challenge the status quo and create new ways of sharing and caring. But on the other side, there are also different interests, right? Because, of course, it is the Science Walden Institute's intention to really manifest the vision of FSM and create different network points for FSM. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's not the forefront of Orville's priorities, right? Yeah. So for us, we've been in this middle ground of trying to really balance both interests. And again, I really have to reiterate how important it is to cater to these unique contexts. Because yes, it's amazing that FSM vision is trying to be global, that in, by being a part of the FSM network, you could, in theory, go to any access point in different parts of the world and be able to offer or receive, right? It's amazing.
Exactly.
But then I think it's a step-by-step. You can't create a network without creating the foundation for these access points. And now we're at what we're working on, the entire team, is creating this foundation for the network access point in Oroville. Right. So maybe you can jump into a little bit of the Hongdong access point, because we've mentioned it several times, Jonas, but
yeah,
we haven't really given the detail.
Exactly. I think we have so many different scenarios, and Hongdong is an experimental community here in South Korea, in this city called Gyeongju. And, you know, it has a population of about 3,500 people. And this figure is from, you know, 2017, so we might, it might be a little bit off, but the situation in you know, Hongdong is that they actually have a complementary currency that they're currently using in addition to, you know, the Korean won, which is like Korea's currency, and they're also exploring how they can use, you know, FSM. And so even looking at this current situation gives us a lot of things to think about in terms of how we can approach the, you know, implementing FSM as an additional complementary currency in Hongdong Mall. Even taking the situation of Oroville, you know, Oroville is particularly unique in the sense that conversations around the topic of money and, you know, what it has come to represent has been going on for years. Oroville has this, you know, ambitious goal of eventually going cashless, or in a sense moneyless. And in these parts of the world, FSM is seen as a step away from capitalism. But in Oroville, you know, a lot of people might think that, no, why are you trying to introduce money again? You know, we're trying to step away from it. And then and so, you know, these are all very different, you know, like scenarios, implementation scenarios that we have that require the need to, you know, recontextualize these ideas that we have in order to make it, you know, accessible and you know, just understandable for people to just accept and go with. So just for, as an anecdote, you know, when I was in Oroville, I think a couple months ago, I don't know if you remember, but we did this presentation to the members of the Korean Pavilion. And even though they were Koreans, you know, we mentioned the term ghoul, you know, which is actually pretty hard to pronounce, because, you know, there's this stress on the G. For foreigners, it's pretty hard to say the word ghoul. Some people say Google, you know, some say go, whatnot. But it's like even the pronunciation of some of these words are so difficult. The Korean Pavilion members even suggested us changing it to sal, you know, which is rice. And that was just a little funny, you know, comment that the person made. But it just comes to show us that, of course, we can't just take this idea that we made in, you know, in Korea and just implanted in every other community. So of course, this is something that we do understand, and we're hoping that every community that we go to or decides to work with us, you know, will also take this into consideration and give us ideas as to how best we can, you know, implement these ideas in there. So yeah, that's
very good point, Jonas. I think the word that I love that you used was the word implant, right? Just like when you're talking about organ implementations or organ implants, I guess, it's a foreign entity that's going into your body and it could be rejected easily. There are a lot of organ surgeries, transfers that like are rejected by the body. So we want to prevent that from happening, I think. And in order to prevent that kind of scenario, you need to, and like this rejection, you need to understand the anatomy. And the anatomy in this case is the context of Oroville, like the economics, the perceptions, and the value systems,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And as an example, like Airbnb is a very popular platform around the world. Whenever you go to a foreign context, that's the go-to app to like book an accommodation, right? And you would think in a place like Oroville, where there's an influx of tourists all the time, like the Orovillians would use Airbnb to put their like guest houses or free spaces. Mm-hmm, but it's actually completely the opposite. Orovillians like to use the guest house platform, even though it does look a little outdated and may not have like the most recent features. No, you've seen it, Jonas. Remember
yeah,
when
I did. I
it's a little outdated. Sorry, whoever built that.
I mean, I agree with that. I agree with that. Definitely agree with that.
It's for an outsider, it may be very counterintuitive. Like, why not use Airbnb? You'll have an access to a bigger potential customer or clientele base. But then Orvillians, no, they do really focus on, okay, it's a platform that we've created as a community, and we're going to support that. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's also, again, relating it back to Hongdong and the amazing job they've done in coming up with their own local currency, which is very functional. Let's mention that. I mean, there are a lot of exchanges that are being done with this local currency there. So I think a big fear or reservation they had when they collaborated with Science Walden was that the GUL or the FSM like credit would completely replace this the local currency and like take away from their hard work. Right.
Yeah.
So again, this like the overarching question that I want to ask you, Jonas, how can change be embraced in an experimental community where there's already been so many changes adopted or implemented or experimented? So the question, I guess, is there a certain cap or a certain limitation to progression? Like, how do new technologies and new ways of thinking diffuse throughout societies? That's something I've questioned a lot throughout this project. Because I think I went in with the mentality that Orville will be willing to try anything and everything because that's mm-hmm. what Orville's there for. And that's what it's like a mantra in the community, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're here to experiment. We're like a never aging youth that have no fear about failing. But it was not the case at all. We got a lot of backlash. There was a lot of rather negative feedback regarding this FSM, like step towards capitalism versus step backwards or step away from capitalism. So yeah, what do you think, Jonas?
I think there's definitely a lot of ways to look at this, but just in terms of looking at how this idea of ours can diffuse, I think there are a lot of steps that we have to go through. I mean, just Science Walden and whatever community that we're, you know, partnering with. I think first of all, it's the knowledge aspect, you know, learning about this idea and just communicating on, you know, what the philosophies actually are. Now, you mentioned Hongdong, and you know, it's in that sense, we kind of went into Hongdong looking at FSM as a sort of a different currency from, you know, what their current currency is. Now, Hongdong's currency is still interchangeable with, you know, the Korean won. And so for us, that in a sense was like, okay, so this is still very dependent on, you know, current monetary systems. And so when we go into Hongdong, we'd have to, you know, have conversations with Hongdong about what we think, you know, FSM represents and see if we can persuade them, you know, to sort of buy into this idea. And then, you know, there's the point of, you know, coming to a decision for them to commit. And now I think we're kind of there where they've committed to the adoption of the idea, or at least to experiment with it and to implement it. I think in the same sense, even when it comes to the situation, this project is still, you know, going through those processes of, you know, we learning about what Orville really stands for and what Orville's philosophies are, and trying to, you know, just retweak this so it can fit the context of Orville. Now it's funny that, you know, we're talking about this because even from the first workshop that we did on this whole idea of recirculatory, you know, basic income, I remember somebody asking us, you know, what about us, those who don't have Wi-Fi, you know, or who don't want to use Wi-Fi? And it was just, for me, it struck me because we hadn't really thought about this. Since it started in Korea, it was more about, oh, okay, everybody who has internet will be open to trying out this platform. However, in Orville, there are people who have Wi-Fi and they're like, we don't want to use Wi-Fi. And so it gives us, you know, a lot of things to think about. And it definitely comes to show that every community that we go to, there are going to be, you know, sort of backlash, because everybody has their own, you know, philosophies going, you know, into these sort of projects. So the main thing, as I've said, is just to engage and to constantly, you know, just have deep conversations with the people of these communities to find a great way for it, because I don't think that there's a one answer fits all for for projects like this?
Not at all. And Jonas, you and I have been in this, again, unique position to be in the middle of it all. So I feel like I've learned a lot through this process.
Exactly.
And just retouch base on the question of how to create the foundation for these different access points for the global network that FSM is envisioning. I want to say this because I think there are two ways to look about this. There is a network, and then just you go on the network and you can access it anywhere. But for me, a network doesn't exist without access points. So we can't build an access point if it doesn't cater to the unique values and existing mechanisms, right? I repeat myself for the fifth time. So even big businesses, let's say we're talking about big tech companies like Google, Facebook, etc., right? It looks tomato in terms of like the branding and the logo, but companies spend billions of, like, really billions, okay, maybe not billions, that's a big number, but millions, an incredible amount of energy goes into asking the question, what moves the people in that community? What values, like, really resonate with them? What do they respond to, right? So in the context of Oroville, again, no matter how great Airbnb is, it's not hitting the hearts of Oroville. It's not speaking to them. Because Orovillians will always use this guest platform, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So sure. We've been trying to, for example, I think we have to mention this here, the type of catering to the context processes that we've done so far. So in the context of Korea or the Science Walden, the FSM credit is called Go, right? Korean for honey, but it didn't really fit. So in Oroville, we chose to call it Aura. Right, because Aura, it was an alternative currency that a fellow Orovillian tried to manifest and implement. It didn't work out, but we felt like, okay, the Aura must live on, right? Exactly. So then the FSM platform or the network in Korea, it makes sense because like Dongbuni Hape, it is a name that resonates a lot and it's very self-explanatory. Being a Korean native speaker, when I hear it, it makes sense. But when you hear the term thesis standard money in English, it doesn't have the same nuance and depth as like Dongbuni Hape. That's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. So then when we
I do disagree a little bit on that, but you know, that's a conversation for another day.
No, but Jonas, like in comparison, like, of course, I understand that thesis standard money, it makes sense to me, a person who has spent a decent amount of time on this project. But for a person who has no idea starting from ground zero, I don't think it strikes a deep chord.
Oh, yeah, it definitely takes, you know, a bit of getting used to, because it's not very intuitive, I guess, you know, when people hear it right from the... You need to explain to people. So, of course, that's definitely something that I agree with in terms of, you know, from firsthand, when you hear about it, it's always like, okay, what's thesis standard money?
Exactly.
But of course,
when I hear Tony Hwape, it makes a little more sense. Like, even though I have, that's what I meant, right? By this lag. So it's really hard. Like, this is where I honestly, like, my heart goes out to like translators. I don't know how they really manage to convey nuance. I mean, it's like a big task, right? So we said, okay, from FSM network and platform, how can it cater to the context of Oroville so that the name, the brand, the value makes sense, right? And we came up with the Human Unity platform because Human Unity is the ultimate goal in Oroville. I mean, it's the reason why Oroville was built, to achieve this idea of creating unity in diversity and for humans to come together from different backgrounds and live in harmony, right? So the Human Unity platform, and it is in large part what the FSM platform is trying to do in terms of like getting people together and encouraging them to share and seeing that everyone has something to share and benefit from one another. So maybe this is a really good point to introduce the Unfold Your Skills workshop series that has been launched a few weeks ago. I think it's been a month or so now. So what do you think about this effort? Like, Unfold Your Skills is a series of workshops developed by the Oroville youth team. And in large part, it was to convey this idea of the platform and introduce it to community members. And we wanted to have direct feedback. And the main slogan for this, for the Unfold Your Skills workshop was, like, foster this idea of giving more than taking, right? Yeah. So we've got such positive feedback. What do you think, Jonas? What's your...
I think these Unfold Your Skills workshops have been a major revelation. For me, going when the project started, it was such a huge you know, pain point in terms of how do we actually communicate all these ideas to our civilians. And, you know, once you know, these workshops started, I can see that people are respond just from responses that we're getting from the team on the ground. We know that people are responding better to these workshops and they're super excited about it. Now, mainly there's also this idea of FSM, you know, being a currency that's going to bring more utility to underutilized resources. But, you know, going a step further, what we're also looking at is not only this idea of bringing utility to underutilized resources, but actually realizing hidden resources, because I think in a lot of ways, as communities, we sometimes relegate a lot of things to, you know, a position of inferiority, or this is not important. But I think even just human ingenuity, human creativity, who we are, and all these resources that we have around us are resources that we could make a lot of use of. And so I think these workshops are bringing to light a lot of these human resources potential and abilities that I think we have sort of taken for granted. And I'm definitely looking forward to getting a lot more details on these workshops and actually participating in one of these, because I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Same here. And the reason why I find Unfold Your Skills has been such a good complement to the FSM vision is because you've said this over and over again. It's Jonas, you said that the FSM or FISA Standard Money is about giving value for being human, the human values, the humanism, right? And I think Unfold Your Skill has been all about that, because offerings or good, it has a connotation that it has to be something tangible, something physical, right? When in fact, the most overlooked underutilized resource in a community is the human skills, skill sets, and different interests and passions. And I think Unfold Your Skills has been a game changer in terms of raising that consciousness and having those conversations, right? And I'm really curious to see how Unfold Your Skills would fit into the context of other communities and other societies, right? Because Oroville is very tight niche, so it's easy to organize something like this. But let's say if you do Unfold Your Skills with people that you have no contact with, no familiar face, like very unfamiliar faces, how would it work out, right? I'm just really looking forward to seeing how this develops over time.
So, I think it would be great. It would be great to take this idea and, you know, try to implement it in a lot of other. Maybe I could go back home, organize a little, you know, Unfold Your Skills workshop back in Ghana.
Seriously,
you know, it's I'm definitely super, you know, jazzed about the Unfold Your Skills workshops, and I'm looking forward to participating in myself. I know I've said it already, but yeah, that just shows my level of excitement about it.
Yeah, thank you. Also, one difference I wanted to highlight, it was really interesting. I've been, the past week or so, I've been looking at the first iteration or the test iteration of the FSM network. And the goods, I mean, there are certain goods from the Science World and Community that they're posting, right? But like I said, it's been mostly goods, a lot of goods, at least, as opposed to in Oroville, a lot of the offerings that were identified or even the needs that were identified were really services and activity-based. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting how in Oroville, without even pushing it in that direction, it naturally led there. Because there was, remember, at the very beginning of this project, a lot of conversation about, okay, space, about involving units and like businesses and services. But we didn't really talk that much about humans as underutilized resources. Yeah. But it's so honestly beautiful and uplifting to think that it just naturally went that direction. True. Because like those conversations were there, you know? So yeah, Jonas, I want to make a couple of closing remarks to end this episode on a positive note. A small apology. I feel like this episode in itself was quite all over the place. It wasn't like that structured, but it is very representative of the work that we're doing, right? It is a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos and balancing interests. What is right? What is wrong? Like, how do we cater to the values, et cetera, et cetera.
True.
But it's so in that sense, like, please, this conversation is as realistic as it can get, because we don't want to provide some like fake image of it being a perfect project that's making full on progress without any obstacles. There are tons of obstacles that we're facing day in and day out, right? So as a closing remark, I want to say, how can we really build bridges and make associations? Because now this the bridge that we're building right now, Jonas, is from Science Walden, from, let's say, Korea to Orville to India, right? Yeah. It's like invisible yet very solid bridge that we're building and making these different associations. So we're working on this new spin-off of universal basic income. We're calling it recirculative or circular basic income. And it's interesting because in the context of Korea, Korea is actually at the forefront of leading this, changing the game about universal basic income. When we were at the Congress earlier in September, that we had this presentation from the Gyeonggi province, right, where they have implemented the youth dividend. So in more or less, without going into further detail, within the youth group, the people in the Gyeonggi province get, I think, how much was it, Jonas, do you remember? Was it?
Was it big manon?
It was around big manon, right? No, I think less.
But at least it was, I think, minimum big manon. Like, that's a million won, $1,000.
So, like, $1,000. Yeah. A decent amount of money, but then there were certain attributes to this. So, it was a local currency that could only be used in the Gyeonggi province, and that was done for the purpose of, like, promoting local businesses. But the fact that this has been implemented and, like, it's actually working. Right. And there's been a lot of positive feedback and a lot of positive outcomes. So for me, I'm really curious how we can also, in, let's say, the Gyeonggi province, where people are familiar with the universal basic income model, how, for example, if we introduce the Unfold Your series, Unfold Your Skills series there, and we can also add another layer to that basic income model by being like, okay, how about the circular basic income model that is like the FSM network? Do you see that like potentially being able to happen, Jonas?
No, I think so. I think it's something that we could potentially carry out, because these are workshops that just tap into this idea of, you know, just the importance of the person and humans. And I think everywhere this message was going to resonate, anywhere we take it to, you know. So I think it's possible to have these sort of workshops. We could try high schools, you know, even start with UNIST as a, you know, as a test bed. We could have some of these in, you know, UNIST. We could start from the Science Walden team, just have Unfold Your Skills workshops here, and then just expand and see where it takes us, because I think there's a lot of potential in just having these conversations, you know, for a start. And I think it will be tremendous, the results that we might see if we decided to take this out.
Exactly, Jonas. I think one of the many reasons why you and I get along so well is not because of our flamboyant, vibrant personalities, but also because we have a large part of what guides our actions and our goals is about building bridges, right? Because you come from a very different background in Ghana, and we've had this conversation over and over again. And for me too, growing up in a community like Orville in the context of India, it has really taught me the importance of, like, I can complain all I want wherever I'm living that this place is missing this and that. Like, Germany is not as spiritual as Orville, and Orville is not as efficient and like work-driven as Germany. Wherever I am in the world, there's always some room for improvement. And this is a life of a cosmopolitan or a third culture kid that people don't really understand. From the outside, it looks like we have it all, right? We are getting so much exposure and diversity. But at the core of our being is this, Unruhe is the word in German. It's this feeling of something is missing. There's like a void, right? Yeah. And that void for me can only be filled by creating this association and building bridges. What I love about Orville, taking it to Korea, and what I love about Korea, bringing it to Orville, right? So it's creating like a circular, again, getting this idea to circular. Like, it's about circulating these philosophies, these goods and services. So in so many ways, the more I talk about this, more I realize, I feel like it was meant to be for both of us, right?
Definitely.
So for me, let's say if the Unfold Your series continues to develop at the rate that it is, I really could potentially see a few Orville youth that have been doing an excellent job. Shout out to Sudipta,
Ahilia, Valentine.
Really, such a massive shout out to all those girls. Wow, it's crazy, all girls. like on the Unfold Your Series workshops, they're all like women. Like,
well, that's true. Well, there's Quentin, you know.
No, but Quentin is not like, moderating. Quentin is doing an excellent job in the app development part of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, just to, you know, so I'm trying to stand up for my dude right there. So you know,
Quentin is a BOMB, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah, NB. Yeah, true.
No, good that you're looking out for Quentin, because I he does work so much. But imagine inviting one of two or three of those girls and inviting
them. It would be
so great. So yeah, we're just thinking big picture. Everyone who's listening, all the people out in Oroville, we're thinking big, and the people in Science Walden. Really, thank you for this opportunity to work on this and really tapping into our value of building bridges. We're very grateful. And please stay tuned for the future episodes, because we have a couple of cool ones coming up. And oh, we're going to also try to get the great and mighty Professor Cho on one of our episodes.
Oh yeah, that's the plan. Hopefully he will be able to.
So if he listens to all the episodes, so I'm sure that when he reaches us, he's probably smiling now. Hi, Professor Cho.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Professor Cho.
Hello, hello. We would love to have you on the show. Let's say when Jonas and I are going to Oroville in December, right? So we can do some kind of remote episode with Professor Cho and ask him about how this entire project came to be, Science Walden, as it is now. All right, Jonas, with that in mind, let's just wrap it up. Really great talking to you as always. We're going to continue these feature episodes. So I want to end this again with a little description about what purpose the feature episode is serving. Like the normal episode, like the usual Aura Talks episodes are really on the ground, what's happening in Oroville, and like inviting guests, Orovillians and volunteers and newcomers, and just talking about it there. And the feature episodes, it's more like a deep dive into the concepts and the challenges that are between, let's say, Oroville and Science Walden, right? So I think the next feature episode, we'll talk about more universal basic income, because we've been requested to do so a lot. I think we've only done a very superficial, like, a common dividend for all without any preconditions.
That would be nice. Looking forward to that.
We spent 5 full days only hearing and listening and talking about universal basic income. So we are like no experts, but we have like a couple of things to talk about, I believe.
We do.
Yeah, we'll keep that episode. So anyone who's listening who wants to know about universal basic income, that episode will come. So yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
This is where the jingles are going to come in, right?
Yeah, this is where the jingles come in. And then do we do the chat for now? Or should we let them have that?
All right. 1, 2, 3. Chow.
Right now. I mean, that was just, I couldn't even do it properly, but all right. Bye.